Good morning.
Good morning, Emily Frenzel's here.
Hi, how are you guys?
I am good. I'm dialing in separately because I'm coming down with a little bit of a cold, so I'm quarantining myself to my office as to not get Rick or Dave, our superstars, any sicker.
Oh, good. Okay.
They'll be joining here shortly.
Okay.
But that's a good thing. It's great.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Good. Good, David. Rick, how are you guys?
Dave, Emily's probably going to be dialing in on her own.
I'm already here, Rick.
Oh, you're already there. we're quarantining her today because she, you know, she has some stuff going on. We don't want to spread it.
No, my entire family, other than me, is got a cold from my granddaughter, so I understand.
There you go.
What?
Those kids.
I get rid of those kids. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's all good, and I just want to tell you, Rob. You tell me because you've been around, a long time. So everywhere I go now. Literally, but it's all guys like Dave, they're 30-somethings, and all they're doing is talking about Bitcoin. And I got a guy who's doing some flooring in my house right now. He comes in this morning and goes, Rick, 11,000. this is insane. And, UBS, obviously, we're not backing this or taking, I don't have a nickel in it or advising anybody about it, but this is one of those crazy times where that is, because he said, where are you getting your information? I'm reading blogs. But this is something that's going, social media, I think, is driving this whole thing.
Do you know anybody that owns them?
No.
Not really. And on top of that, Rob, I don't think we know anyone who actually fully understands it.
Yeah.
No one really fully understands the technology and the use and everything else. It's like that's why it's so bizarre. The whole thing's bizarre.
So it's more of a news story than it is actually affecting anybody because nobody owns them. I know one person that owns Bitcoin, and that's because his son-in-law worked for our company. And he bought them to be nice to the son-in-law.
There you go.
Yeah. But I'm finding it's mostly, kids who are, haven't invested before, who are in, but they think they understand this, the technology, and they're buying it. And it's insane.
Well, I've spent zero time on it, and I would recommend that. Unless you're going to invest in it,
right?
I would spend no time talking about it or thinking about it because it's just a distraction. It's not if everybody you talk to owned it and we're all excited about it, then I would say it's a bubble, okay?
Yeah.
But as long as nobody owns it, then it isn't a bubble. It's an interesting phenomenon, but it isn't important to us because, we're not engaged in it. So it's fine. I think it might go to 100,000. Who cares? But it's like any commodity. I think it's dangerous because you the air could come out of it any time and.
Right.
I'm not sure I want to be. I don't want to be part of that. I do own NVIDIA, and I think that there's, that's almost gone to a bubble stage. But I don't care. I'm participating, and so good. If it goes to 100,000, then NVIDIA will probably have its own little run. But I think that this is a really healthy, strong, scary market, and that's it's the best environment I've ever seen. in my 50 years, you know, of 45 years of investing.
Right.
It's the best environment I've ever seen. Not the safest by far.
Correct.
But they just raised GDP, you know, to 3.4, up from, you know, when have we had 3% growth rates?
And we haven't
and
in
now,
years. Yeah.
Right. Now they're talking 4% possibly if we get this tax cut.
Right.
I mean, that does amazing things for taking care of deficits. And I don't know about you, but inadvertently, I took $450,000 of gains last year. Okay?
Oh, okay.
So, see what I mean? I'm going to have to pay, I don't know, $50,000 more in taxes because of that. Now, how many times is that duplicated? That was just probably switching money managers, you know, and things like that. We took that much in gains.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't even know how I took that much in gains.
Yeah.
But here I am, for the first time, literally, since the recession, having to pay
capital gains.
Taxes on capital gains. Because I had a lot of, you know, I did a big, huge tax swap at the bottom and created, you know, millions of dollars worth of losses carried forward. This is the first year I'm actually going to have to pay taxes.
Wow.
So it's a windfall for the government. And nobody's really talking about that. We could balance the budget. Balance, you know, have no deficit current. I mean, I remember during the Clinton administration when we had a surplus and they were wondering what to do with the surplus.
Yeah.
and we should be during a period like this. We shouldn't be running a deficit on the current basis. But, you know, they're still spending too much. But you notice, I not to get off the subject, but I mean, I did notice, you know, they're all complaining and grousing about the State Department. And what's going on is they're going in and cutting the fat, like in any corporation.
Yeah. No.
And they're saying the State Department is being decimated. Trust me, it's not.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
you're exactly right, though. It's an interesting time. And I keep telling Dave, you know, because as we're doing these client reviews, you know, they're all good. And it's an unusual time where you're going through it because, you know, even the last few years, the U.S. markets were doing well, but the international were lagging. And, you know, most of our portfolios, I mean, all of the portfolios we run have, you know, they're globally balanced. And the international stuff was just, you know, we always had to explain something. And this year, I mean, they're kicking butt. And, I mean, everything is working. And then the only thing now is we have a couple clients, well, how come I'm not in more technology? How come I'm not in more Amazon and all that stuff? But those are easy ones to handle. But, you know, this is one of those times where it is, you know, client reviews are – I don't want to say easy, but, you know, it's just, you know. And we know
we're less
on the defensive, exactly. So.
Right. We had two bad years recently. I mean, you know, they were terrible. I mean, you know, we think, well, they were good years for the economy, but they weren't good years for the stock market, and performance was pretty bad.
Right.
So this is really the first year. You know, I mean, big year we're having, and, you know, we had some big years, and then we didn't, had a couple bad years, and now we're having a couple of good years. So, good for us. But I think we got another 2 years, and because I don't see it being crazy. You might say Amazon's crazy, but really I don't think it is.
No, I think most clients, Rob, that we talk to, I mean, even our, you know, we're sort of cautious, you know, thinking that, you know, the markets are at all-time highs. I can't keep adding more money here. We've got to wait for a correction. That's the kind of stuff. And as you said, I mean, that's not, you know, times where we're euphoric yet.
Right, right. I had a guy today on my bike ride asked one of the guys that I ride with, said, you know, should I wait or should I get in now? Or, you know, these are interesting conversations because everybody feels like they're missing it, right?
Right.
All right, let's. What,
anyway, so
anything supernova
yes.
on your mind?
Yes.
The questions? Or, yeah.
Well, a couple things I just want to review. The last time you and I talked, we talked about a specific client that Dave and I were having breakfast with. He's the biotech startup.
Yes. Yes.
So we really, worked into that. Now, we did have some discussions. Emily connected, and I think what you were very good advice about, you know, make sure we can help them by talking about pre-IPO planning, and if that's not our, you know, to bring other people in. So we had some conversations with somebody else that Emily connected us with who has, you know, brought like 20 companies, you know, they've done this before.
Right.
And we didn't bring him in, but we just had a conference call with him. But then we came to realize the investment banking relationship was probably not our strong suit on this company.
Yep.
And we found out pretty quickly in that one meeting with Sam that UBS was not one of the leaders that they were looking at, because they have their own CFO that they brought on, who's brought a couple companies public and has his own relationships in that industry. And I guess JP Morgan, Cowen, you know, were companies that they were really high on or working closely with. And so instead of beating our heads with the investment bank, which is a relationship that we don't have, I mean, I don't even know how good our investment banking people are in that area, we asked him the question, Sam, what is a concern for you? How, you know, what?
Where can we add value?
Yeah, where can we add value to you now? You're going through this, you know, this is exciting time for you, all this stuff. How can we add value for you? And he came out very, very clearly, and he said, you know what I would need help with? Is tax planning and pre-IPO planning,
it was
really.
The estate and tax plan, he said, it's not only for me, he even threw out there and said, and, you know, the other executives, you know, at the firm. I mean, we're going to need a lot of help with the tax planning and estate planning side. So he kind of moved straight into the wealth management aspect
right.
of things, as opposed to, hey, Rick and Dave, we're really looking to for you guys to hook us up with UBS's investment bank and, you know, help us with the IPO. He pretty much had, not that he put the kibosh on it, he said he was open to, you know, setting up a conversation with our IB analyst and the CFO of their company. The question I guess we have now is, do we push that forward, or do we say, hey, forget about the IB side, let's really focus on the tax and estate planning and all the wealth management.
And we made it clear. We said, Sam, you're our client. And Emily was actually at that breakfast too. And we said, Sam, you're our client. We want to do, you know, what's the, you know, important for you right now. And then we asked him directly. And so he clearly stated what it was. So, and I think it might have been you saying, you know, focus on Sam. I mean, he's our client. And that would probably lead to the other stuff. But if we take care of Sam, then he would say, hey, we got this great thing. These guys at UBS are taking good care of me. And you'd possibly get into the others also.
Well, you just have to understand that if Sam is the CEO, he cares about
COO.
His people. COO, sorry. Okay, he's the COO. But he still cares about the other people, and they're all talking right now, okay?
Right.
So I think you can have I think you can be helpful to your investment banking people, but put it in their court, okay? So you could probably arrange for an appointment for them, but just make it clear that, you know, that's between you and the investment banking people. That will not reflect on our relationship in terms of
right,
what
because we don't want to put our hat on the investment banking relationship.
Right. But you can facilitate it, and if it turns out to be a winner, you still get paid.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? So yeah. You claim that. At least you can claim the appointment.
Yep.
The next thing is I would suggest that you not just plan for Sam. I would suggest that you run a parallel path for the other executives. Meaning, Sam, what we will do is do pre-IPO planning for you. We will do our entire, you know, estate planning and other, and give you our very best advice, but we will also make that available in a formal way to your other executives at the same time? How would you suggest we do that?
Yep.
Okay. And he'll say, well, tell me about it. That's the point where you have to impress him.
Yeah.
And if you can, do it. If you need to bring in somebody else, do that. But you need to have a process here for them to go through. And then he'll be impressed, hopefully.
Yeah.
And you say, now, how would you suggest that we give others the opportunity to take advantage of this?
Yeah. So okay. we're connecting with one of our estate planning people, and Emily, you've worked with him before.
Yeah, his name is Bob Madden. He is like the perfect estate planner, I think. The look, the feel, he wrote like the premier book on estate planning that attorneys use. So I think he would be a great partner, and we've already connected with him, and he's agreed to go up to Boston when that date is scheduled. So I think from a partnership perspective, we're bringing the big guns.
Yeah, and he also suggested, though, because of tax law right now, you know, January would probably be a good time once we see the what's going on here.
Yeah. I mean, but you plan now. Because there's, you got to get the planning done before the IPO. That's the key.
Yes.
You can't be late. Once the IPO comes out and the appreciation happens, assuming it does.
Right.
I mean, it's going to appreciate from their cost base anyway, just to the IPO price. Plus, then hopefully you get a little premium.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where all the damage is done. Estate planning, and so if you do it ahead of time, you know, all that appreciation goes into the trust or goes into the kids or goes to where you want it to go.
Yeah.
So
that'll be good. I mean, so I think, you know, we took your advice, and then we're going to be bringing somebody in who's done that before to assist us on this. And we'll start with Sam, and then I like it about.
So Rob, you recommend, because I think that was what Rick and I were shooting around was, you know, do you present to Sam, or do you introduce ideas to Sam first and then have kind of him vouch for us when we go to the others, or is it kind of a one present, you know, one kind of more formal presentation to Sam with the other executives kind of in the room at the same time? Like, we didn't know timing-wise what
right,
would be best.
No, I think you do Sam, but at the same time you're there, I mean, this is what I would say to Sam. Look, Sam, we're going to come up and see you, okay? And that's our purpose of our trip.
Right.
But we're going to have our, you know, we're going to have the big guns with us. What would, you know, do you think it would be a good idea to take a little bit of time and have them present to your executives and just give them some advice?
Yep.
And he'll say, oh yeah, I think that's a great idea. So now you're taking care of Sam, clearly impressing him, but now you've got a chance to get in front of the other guys in the, let's say they, you know, you got six guys around a boardroom table. You spend an hour with them, briefing them on what they should be thinking about, and if you are interested, we would be very happy to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Therefore, it's out of his hands in terms of you're just give. See, he, instead of him saying, "Oh, these guys are the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
You got to use them."
Yeah.
Give you guys a chance to present. Give them some good advice, and don't hold back. I mean, you can tell them everything that you should be doing.
Right.
And then if you want to use us, you know, use somebody. I always tell people that. They say, well, I don't know if I want to do financial planning. I say, hey, listen, you need it. Use me or use somebody.
Yeah.
But you've got to get this done. It's like risk management.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so you want them to get the – just pretend you have the answer and the cure for cancer, all right? You've got to get them the information they need. And if they choose to go to a different doctor, fine.
Yeah.
But they've got to know that there is a cure and that you're the guys that know what the cure is.
Good. Perfect.
So that's the passion you got to have for this stuff. And tell them that, you know, these guys would need to hear this because, you know, the worst thing they could do is do nothing
right prior
to the IPO. That would be, you know, that'd be unfortunate. Let's put it that way. That wouldn't be the best decision.
Right. So this is perfect. Emily, do you, what were your takeaways from that meeting with Sam?
Rob, I think you'd be really proud. He was clearly trusts Rick and Dave with this important part of his life, and has said, you know, they've been there through it all. So there's a lot of trust that's built in there, and I think, you know, Sam is clearly an advocate for this team. So I think it's a great opportunity for Rick and Dave really to showcase the capabilities of, you know, themselves and Margaret and the team, and also of what we could do at UBS. So I'm excited for this. I'm ready to book our Boston trip. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So wonderful.
Okay, good.
And that's the energy, Emily, that is so important to bring to these situations, because Rick and Dave could be your specialist in this area. I mean, that's how these things start.
Wow.
And, yeah, I mean, just think, you know, your Sam then introduces you to his buddy that's got another company, knows is going public, and so forth.
Yeah.
It's a club. It's a tight club.
It's a very successful club, and it's a very tight-knit club from, you know, what Sam has told us, and everyone knows everyone, and you're right. If you can kind of get the ball rolling here and do the right things and be there for people, and you hope that it can snowball into others.
Yeah.
Right.
So they were in, the reason they were even in Philly, they were meeting with another Philadelphia-based company in the biotech genetic gene therapy area that they all knew for like 20 years before they went IPO. This other company went IPO and is doing very well from Children's Hospital. It's spun off of Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. But they're so, I mean, they're all connected.
Right.
All connected.
And these guys have been working their asses off for 20 or 30 years with making virtually no money.
Yeah.
And now they hit the lottery. I mean,
yeah.
You know, and so it's a wonderful time for them. And so they're kind of like guys that grew up in the business together, and
right. And
so they will be very helpful to each other, and so it makes sense. Yeah, you can. And this is one of my favorite areas, and always has been. So I love biotechnology. I love the industry. It's scary. It's hard to make money. But with the new supercomputers and the ability to, you know, do the things that they've done, unlocking the DNA and unlocking the human
it's crazy.
System. It's just been amazing, and the progress they're making and the speed they're going at. And it's just so it's all coming together. It's a perfect time for you guys, and I think I wish you well. And with here's the key for you guys. You brought Emily in early, and she's now fully engaged, and that is makes a huge difference in the success of a project like this. Because management is often busy doing a lot of things that unfortunately don't generate any revenues. And this is going to be a big revenue creator. So it's good for everybody. Emily, do you have any?
I'm counting on that big revenue there, Rob, so don't worry.
it's a big opportunity. Do you have any inconsistencies with anything that different opinion on anything that I've suggested, or am I?
Absolutely not. I try to, if I'm quiet, I'm scribbling down some of the words and phrases that you use, because I think short history has shown that, you know, some of the words, whether it's scattered, whether it's, you know, we want to work with you first, Sam, you know, these are the type of the things that I think just a couple of those phrases and words have worked really well and given, I think, Rick and Dave a lot of confidence. So I'm taking as much notes as hopefully they are, just to try to, you know, learn from you and your experience. So keep on.
That leads into me. I wrote some notes down in advance of our meeting today of just summarizing what's worked for us since we started talking just a few months ago. And I think that those words, again, helped us with that one endowment that we now fully, we implemented everything. We met with them again last week. They're all in. But those wars were scattered, which was very good, powerful, and then who was managing your risk? Those were two. So my question is, Rob, you have books on everything. Is there another source or more of these powerful words that we can use with clients or that, you know, are effective to just, man, you can, with one word, you can capture a lot?
Well, Rick, let me do this. I'm finishing up and editing my second book, and I gave it, you know, in its unedited form to one of the guys that who's a young guy starting out in the business. I thought, can I really help him? I've probably mentioned him before. And I'm having a ball coaching him. So I sent him my book in internet form, and he read it and he said, Rob, it's twice as good as your other book. Well, the reason I mention it is because it's got all the words. It's got stories about, you know, you and stories about God, you know, everybody that I interviewed for it. It's got great stories in it, and it's all about acquisition. So it should be pretty effective. And I'm very interested, by the way. Now, I gave it back to Cindy to do the first. I re-edited the first 9 chapters, so they're actually readable. And I'm doing the next 4 chapters as fast as I can. But she should have those done, and once those are done, I will send it to you. Awesome. And Emily, you know, I'm happy to have all you 3 of you guys read it. And give me some feedback. And if you have stories that you'd like to add to anything, they're wonder. You know, the more stories I have, I can't always use all the stories. And if they're duplicate stories, then it probably isn't a good idea. But you've done things. You've done some really unique things, Rick, with your ability to work with the Catholic community and your niche and now this one, and so you understand niche marketing really well.
Yeah.
And you understand that it's almost impossible to separate your personal involvement with your business involvement in some cases.
Yeah.
And it just works. It works great. You know, it works beautifully. And so, you know, that it's just, I think you'll find words there that I, you know, unless you ask me a question, I can't remember. I can't just spout off a million words, right? This work, you know, you gotta give me the situation, then I can tell you.
Yeah, give you the context. Words. But that, I just want to let you know that they were, we literally used them in that one meeting when we were presenting to that endowment about consolidating all their stuff. And those were powerful. And, you know, they came across well. And, we literally use them verbatim, and the same thing with Sam. How can we add value to you, Sam? You're a good client of ours. We want to make sure we take you do the, you know, right thing through this whole process. And he clearly stated he wants some pre-IPO planning of estate planning and tax planning.
Well, ask him if you can remember those words I just used in terms of talking to him first, and then in terms of having the discussion, what you're going to do for him, and then how do we help. Help, basically help you help the others.
Yep.
Because I think that and he will then always think when you get stuck, always think about asking the advice question. Don't, you know, because you don't have the answer. It's an advantage to not being the smartest guy in the room. The key is to be the most interested guy, the most inquisitive guy, and using the brain power of the group to come up with the best solution. Oftentimes, if you go into a room and you have all the answers, you appear arrogant.
Yeah, yeah.
And less than, you're not listening then. you're just you got the answers, all the answers, so why should anybody else talk? It's much better to be the person that listens carefully and listens to everybody and then comes up with something that's very helpful. rather than proving how smart you are.
Yeah, I like that. Two other things I wanted to mention, what's really been working also, which probably I know was in the first Superdome, but I wasn't as diligent about it, is we're working now with an agenda for every meeting, but I think the key is the executive summary. And this is where Dave has really stepped. I mean, he's really given me the leverage to do a lot of that stuff. Because, like, I don't know, I was just... But he's a good wordsmith, and he puts stuff together. But we found we're getting responses from the clients already about the executive summary that we're giving them right after the our meeting. And it is clarifying everything, and we make sure that everybody understands what we just discussed.
Right.
So I just want to tell you, I mean, we've done now a better job, and I credit Dave with this because – he's, you know, it's just, again, that's the leverage aspect instead of trying to do it all myself.
The answer is often right in front of us. And what is the question is, what does the client, what would make the client's life better? It's often in conflict with what makes our life easier. Right. It's easier not to do an agenda. It's easier not to do an executive summary. But once you do them, you discover several things. One is the meetings are shorter. You stay on topic and you get more done. I had a 17-minute meeting this morning at 8 o'clock with our board because both Tom is a doctor, my buddy, and I had to go to work. We said we have to do it in a half an hour, we got it done in 17 minutes.
Wow.
We did everything we needed to do in that board meeting. It was just to deal with an issue. And everybody was there. They were there on time, and we got out. And it was it's the way all meetings should go. So the executive summary is essential for peace of mind. Who's going to do what by when?
Yep.
It also, as Emily knows, this has huge compliance benefits. Because there's no I say, you say issue, you know, which was what we always used to have to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't place that order. I didn't agree to do that annuity. I didn't agree to do this.
Yeah.
And it's not with your best customers, but it can be, you know, as people get older, they forget. And our clientele is obviously, as we age, they get older. And so it just... Here's the other thing, which comes up in Chapter 6, which is to use the 24-month calendar
right
for education purposes and to not only use it but give it out at the beginning of the year. So create a 24-month calendar and then give it to everybody. And what it will do will be to hold you guys accountable. And it'll help you prepare better, keep you on track on the service side and educational side of the business. 1242 keeps you on track on the service side, and the calendar keeps you on track for the educational side.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't ignore the fact that you put on the calendar or you'd like to have done long-term care. You've got to have the conversation. A lot of times people don't need the answers. They just want the education. The answer is, when I say they don't need the answer, the question is, should they buy it? Sometimes they don't even need that answer. They just want the education and let them think about it and know what the benefits are and what the challenges are, what the costs are. And then you won't lose that case to somebody else if, in fact, they really want it.
Yeah.
And somebody can't come in and sell them. Somebody can't come in and sell them a bill of goods, right? Because you're doing it. It builds trust. Because, frankly, you're not selling something. You're consulting with them.
Yeah, I see that. I was looking at that, thinking the same thing. I guess it is just proactively bringing up topics of interest.
Right, and if you're busy, if you're busy like we've been busy for the last couple of weeks, we've been busy on things that are more important than what's on the, quote, agenda for that week,
right.
It's okay. I mean, it's okay. You can skip it. You know, it'll come up in the next 24-month calendar.
Right.
Or if they want it. And I like the idea of when you email the agenda out, asking them the question, if there's something that you would like to add to the agenda or if you have a question on the agenda, please email us back and we'll add it.
Yeah, that's good.
Hey, Rob, question for you. Have you ever heard of anybody that has used that 24-month calendar and done maybe like quarterly educational webinars for clients and just offer that out as a service from an education perspective? I just think we have really smart folks between Dave, Rick, Bob Madden, whoever it is at the firm. Is that something that works in terms of a proactive kind of group coaching or group educational setting versus the individual?
I think that's a wonderful thing to do. You know, when we suggest Supernova, we say that the 1242 is the minimum that you can do. It's not the maximum. Okay? So the 24-month calendar is the minimum. It's not the maximum. If you have time, you've got fewer clients, and you have the time and you think it's going to create value, then do some experiments with it. Sure, a lot of people have, a million different ways to communicate with their clients through, having conferences, having especially some of their niches. They guys are doing amazing things in their niches to educate and to bring people together. But, yeah, webinars are very efficient. I do them, right? I've done webinar on every single topic. Which are, by the way, are on the website. You can look at them, see how I do them. They work. It's really interesting too, is to use your experience with Supernova to educate your clients in business. People, we do these mastermind group conversations talking about, what do you talk about at the mastermind group? Well, I mean, one of the things you want to do is educate your clients on process. Help them to be more efficient, more effective. And they're all really interested if they're in the service business, which in most cases a mastermind's made up of CPAs, attorneys, commercial realtors, business brokers. They're all in the same business of servicing clients. They're in the service business. Supernova works for them. So educating them on Supernova by handing out the book, by talking about experiences that you've had, why you use the agenda, how it makes life more efficient, they're very interested in that stuff. So there's, people say, what do we talk about? I mean, come on, guys. You can talk about a million things. I just finished redoing the chapter on mastermind groups, but it's, in the mastermind group is, by the way, you guys really should have, do you have them? You don't have them, right?
No, not yet. That's something I never really did.
It's really, really important because it's another opportunity to explode the business. Just like this niche is an opportunity to explode the business in biotechnology. You could build a mastermind group in the Philadelphia area that services the biotechnology group. The CPA that works with these companies that really understands them, the attorney that works with them, the realtor that helps them get real estate. Commercial real estate. And then you guys work for years together, work for the next 20 years together to help this industry. And guess what? You're going to triple the number of introductions you get. Because all those guys know guys in the business that are going public or are getting rich or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's not just a mastermind group, a generic mastermind group. a niche mastermind group is a brilliant idea, especially when it's on in a unique marketplace. And you make great friends. Look how, you made great friends with Sam by tennis.
Exactly.
That's a niche, right? That's your social niche. You do the same thing through this group, and maybe they're all tennis players. I don't know. That'd be great. Anything that you can have in common makes the group tighter. You know, you all went to school together. You all knew each other from the club. You all played tennis together. However, it's just easier when you start with people that you'd like to be friends with. And those people can be your best friends, you know, 30 years or 20 years from now, especially for Dave, you know, doing it now and doing it for the next 30 years. Can you imagine how those people will grow and become senior partners in their firms and what that's worth to you to be best friends with them?
Yeah. No, that's good. So one of the things I'm going to talk to you on our next call, Rob, is this is another, if you can help me with another one, and this is, again, part of my, I have an old high school buddy. We played baseball growing up together from Little League all the way through high school. He played college. We both played college. And then he went on. Well, he's now the manager of Chicago Cubs, Joe Madden.
That's great.
So one of the things, but so obviously he was in the minor leagues for like, you know, 25 years. So we grew apart, but in the last few years we've come back together, and he does a fundraiser every year back where we grew up, and we've started doing that with a bunch of old friends. We get together, and it's like a reunion, but then once what we do once every summer now, a group of us go out, and we go now to Wrigley Field. We get to go on the field with him before the game, hang out. But he, now, he's not a client. He just signed, you know, a 5-year, $25 million contract with the Cubs, and he's doing a lot of other things. So he has his people, and it's like, how do I break into that? I mean, it's not like, hey, Joe, I want to, you know, all of a sudden, after all these years, come back to him. So, you know, that's not for today. That's something for you to think about. How do I approach that?
Well, there's usually there's a couple different – I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can think about it, right? But I had a guy in Minnesota that specialized in helping in ball players because he was one.
Got
tall, handsome, you know, tall, handsome pitcher. You know, only reason he didn't make it in the bigs was, you know, big time in the bigs was bad arm, you know.
Yeah.
But the guys knew him and loved him, and so he would take every spring – he'd head off with two suitcases full of folders to go to spring training and meet all the guys.
Wow.
And he loved it. It was his business. He was a smart guy, good look, just a nice guy, you know, wonderful. Has gone on, had a fabulous career. But here's an option, a thought. Find that guy. Okay? That does this for a living. And partner with him. Okay? Because you got a one-off. He knows how to do this. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
And so that would be something you could do to introduce, Joe, we have a team that does this. Okay? And I'd like to introduce you to the guy because you're going to have guys coming to you that are going to ask for your advice, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they have, and especially that team specifically, I mean, they have a handful of young guys that are all going to be, you know, with $100 million.
Right.
In baseball, they're all guaranteed contracts, too. Young guys, you know, with boatloads of money, and, yeah, that's obviously not a niche that we're involved in, but that does make sense to be with the team or to partner with the team that does work with ball players that maybe has a good reputation, you know, in that community already.
And Emily, we do not have a sports group within UBS, do we?
I don't think we have any sports groups. There are a couple teams that specialize in professional athletes. I have that written down as one of my takeaways. Let me make some calls and figure out who that specialist is or specialist teams are.
right.
Emily, I can't tell you how valuable this is having you on here.
Hey, listen, I love it. I'm, like I said, I'm learning more, I think, than anybody else on this call. So,
telling you, she's a superstar rising at UBS. Just hang with Emily.
Well, I will tell you the advantage I find that when I have a manager that actually not only just, you know, is interested, but actually monitors the call, my people will do 30% better.
Oh.
30% better. Performance-wise. Okay.
Well, that's why I want to include Emily on this because, I mean, I consider her part of the team that we have here. And to get us all in and all fully engaged really is just in all of our best interest.
Well, you would have to go and translate what we said to her. And she's not going to, you know, if she wasn't here,
right,
she wouldn't get it.
Right.
So, and each time it's going to have to be, you know, a big, long meeting trying to figure it out. Whereas you hear Emily, you hear the whole thing, you hear the train of thought, and you go, boom, I can fix that. I can fix that. I can help there. I can help there. My God, I know you can't do it for everybody, but in a coaching situation, it's just, and case study is one of the greatest ways for me to coach because I did what you did, Emily. I mean, I did it for the district. I did it for years, and we came up with great solutions to problems and opportunities. Because I was kind of, you know, I was blessed to not be the smartest guy in the room and listen and be willing to try things and experiment. And so, you know, that's wonderful. Thank you.
It's
the next step would be to go to your manager.
Anyway, okay. But it's good. And Emily, obviously, you can tell she has the energy also, and she's working on this.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know,
there's not everybody that wants to hire a coach or wants to grow. So you eliminate, it's the 80-20 rule. There's 20% of your office that's willing to do something like this. So you really, Emily, you don't need to worry about the rest. Find the 20% that want to grow, hire a coach, me or somebody else, and do this. Leverage is tremendous.
Well, thanks for including me, everybody, even in my quarantine state. You know, I'm pumped up, and this is definitely, Rob, you know, that, you know, 20% that really is going to get it done for us here in Newtown. So I'm excited and looking forward to, you know, finish out this year strong and a great 2018 as well. We have a lot of good things coming our way.
Well, that's wonderful. If I can do anything else, please you have my cell phone, I hope, and please call me in consulting or anything else. I'm very happy to be personally engaged with you because you're a winner. I know I coach a few managers, and none of the managers that hire me are second rate. They're the best because they are the best. They're smart enough to know there's a leverage in hiring a coach. So I'd be happy to help in any way I can. So thank you.
We're good today. But we're excited, Rob, that it happened for a reason. That you called me that one day, and boom, it just with Dave coming on board, timing was perfect.
Right, the universe is helping us.
Absolutely, I believe in that, Rob.
I do too. All right, Richard. Thank you, Rick. Thanks,
Dave. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Have a good one, everybody.
Bye-bye.